Be'ezer Hashem Yisparach, we are now beginning the Parsha class on Parshas Korach. Today is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Tov Shin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar of July 3rd, 2019. And we're going to begin talking about, unfortunately, another infamous story, a tragedy that happened to Klal Yisrael and has affected us till today. As an introduction to this parsha, it's very important to understand that anything, for the first time, that happens in the world becomes eternal and enduring. It has a very far-reaching effect on the world and on Klal Yisrael. To give you a few examples, we'll start with some positive things. We know the world was created in 6 days, and the purpose of the world, of 6 days creation, that there should be a Shabbos. Shabbos, the first Shabbos, eternal, and is enduring ad hayom, till today. With the holiness of Shabbos and the greatness of Shabbos, Shabbos is eternal and Shabbos is every single week. Akedas Yitzchak. This test of Akedas Yitzchak, the passing of the Akedah where Avraham and Yitzchak were tested, became a very, very essential part of a schus for Klal Yisrael. It was eternal to Klal Yisrael and enduring. Another example, Nachshon ben Aminadov from Shevet Yehuda was the first one that jumped into the Yamsuf that caused it to split. His action was eternal to Klal Yisrael's future and enduring. The nace of the splitting of the sea took place at that moment. The story of Pinchas. He took the initiative to kill Zimri ben Salu, the Kozbi bas Thur, at the time when there was a terrible plague and Klal Yisrael was in a crisis. He took the lead and he was the first person to stop the plague, and his action became eternal and enduring. Going further in history, Reb Yehuda Hanasi, the first person who put the Mishnayos into writing, and he actually saved Klal Yisrael during the time where he saw that the Jewish people were going to go into Golus and that they would forget the Torah, and his action became eternal and enduring. Reb Shua ben Gamla, the innovator of the school system, was the one that was the initiator of putting the chedorim, the schools, on the map, so to say, and he created the school system which saved Klal Yisrael. It became eternal and enduring. You know, even today, in modern times, we have two very interesting groups. We have the Litvisha and the Hasidim. We know the Musa movement run by the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that affected the Torah world, the Yeshiva world, and the Hasidim with the Baal Shem Tov. He, at that time, was initiator of the Hasidim, and each group had made a tremendous, tremendous roshem, a tremendous, tremendous inroad in Klal Yisrael that became eternal and enduring. We have just recently the Beis Yaakov movement, which actually saved the Jewish people in modern times, where the girls never had a system where they would go to a school. And Sora Shnira saw that the future of the Jewish people was in a state of peril. And with the permission of the Gedolim, she opened up the first school system for girls. And as I said, anything first that is essential will be enduring and eternal. And unfortunately, it works the other way around too. In the negative sense, we know the first chait, the chait of the Eitz Hadas, where Adam HaRishon committed the first sin together with Chava, right? That was unfortunately eternal and enduring. We could have lived forever, but because he ate from the Eitz Hadas with Chava, we lost that opportunity. And now death has been brought to the world. We all know about the chet of the Nachash. He spoke the first Lashon Hara, and the result of that was that he caused all of his descendants to be cursed, to lose their ability to walk, but to be that had a crawl, they had no ability to have any taste. Everything was dirt. They had all their food they wanted, and he's a symbol of Klala, that it was eternal and enduring. Going further, we all know about the chet of the Lashon Hara done by the Meraglim, that was unfortunately a terrible Aveira, and was the first of its kind to speak against Eretz Yisrael, and that became eternal and enduring. This week's Parsha, Parshas Korach, unfortunately follows the same pattern. When something very bad for the first time happens, becomes eternal and becomes enduring. And the story of Korach, unfortunately, is a story that we have to live with till today. And I will explain that as we talk about the parasha in detail. Korach was a very special person. Korach was a big Talmud Chacham. Korach was from the family of Levium. We know that Levi, the Shevet Levi, Levi had three children. Levi had Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. We're going to spend time now on Kohath. Kohath, he had four children: Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, and Uziel. What's relevant to us today, to this story, Amram had three children. Two, of course, that's going to be mentioned in the parasha, is Moshe and Aaron. Yitzhar had Korach. And we're going to skip to Uziel had a son by the name of Elitzaphan. So the story that surrounds this parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by Hashem to make the Nasi of Shevet Kohath, the Nasi was Elitzaphan, the son of Uziel. Now Korach was very upset about this, because he felt that if Moshe and Aharon, being from the first son of Kohath, remember Kohath had four sons, right? So Amram had his two children become two leaders. Korach felt he should become a leader too. And he really wanted to become Kohen Gadol. And in the meantime, Korach sees that his nephew, Elitzaphan ben Uziel, ends up to become the Nasi instead of himself. And he took this very, very personally. He was very bitter and very upset. And although he had his own personal honors of being the one to carry the Aron, that was an extremely unique honor. When they had to travel, Korach was one of the people who carried the Aron on the shoulders, and this was his position. Despite that, he felt that he should become Nasi of Shevet Kohath. And as a result, he started a rebellion. He started a rebellion against Moshe, claiming that Moshe took the honors on his own, and he therefore was interested with taking the honor for himself, and Korach decided to create a rebellion. Now, Korach did not start this rebellion when he felt he should have, which should have been immediately when Aaron was initiated as a Kohen Gadol. He waited for the opportune time. He waited to find Moshe Rabbeinu vulnerable, where Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to stand up against the pressure of the public opinion that would be against him. Had Korach started this rebellion immediately when he wanted the position of Kohen Gadol way back at the beginning of the building of the Mishkan, they would have stoned Korach on the spot, because they all respected Moshe very, very much. So Korach found it a very important, they looked for a very important moment to be able to create this rebellion, and it took place after the Jewish people were committed to remain in the desert for the 40 years. And this was his plan. As the Ramban explains, it's brought down in my Sefer Chidekel, Rabbi Chaim Dov Kelish Sefer, where he explains that Korach saw that the Jewish people were very bitter at the time of the Meraglim, because this was at the third event that took place where the Jewish people were punished for a certain aveiros. There was a time, there were two other times before the Meraglim where the Jewish people were punished for their evil. For example, they were punished by the case of Taveira, where they complained after 3 days of traveling away from Har Sinai that the traveling was bothering them, and Hashem was very upset about it. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them, but it stopped the fire from killing, but the Jewish people were at that time hurt by the fact that people died during the time of Taveira. Then right afterwards, there's a story that took place in the desert, and this all took place in Midbar Purim, where the Jewish people were complaining about the man, and they wanted slav, these geese, right? And there they were all, many people were killed, and by the place called Kivros Hatava, many people were killed. And they were also very upset about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, although maybe quenched or put down the plague that killed, but they were very upset that so many people died at the time. But the clincher, the point that really made the Jewish people bitter, was the fact that after the Meraglim came back and Hashem said that they're not going to leave the desert for 40 years, and those over 20 will die in the desert, created a very negative environment, and it was a volatile situation that endangered Moshe Rabbeinu's, let's put it this way, his public opinion. His ratings went down very, very much. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu was now in a very weak position in terms of fighting Korach. And Korach found this time a perfect time to create an uprising and to cause a rebellion to take place. The result was that Korach was successful. Korach was successful in creating a terrible inner turmoil. He made litzanis, he made fun of Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed the Levim to be initiated by Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become active Levim, they had to have their hair their shaved. They were picked up by the Kohanim, and it was grounds for Korach to find things that would ridicule Moshe for the things that he was telling Klal Yisrael to do. With the two famous examples is that Korach asked Moshe Rabbeinu, "What's the halacha? Does tzitzis need to be with a blue thread at the fringe?" So he said, "Of course." What would happen if the whole talus itself, the talus cotton, the fabric of the talus, the four-cornered garment, would be completely blue? Would there still need to be a blue thread? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Of course." There must be a blue thread. And for this, Korach started to ridicule him and mock Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, "How could that be? If one thread is enough for the garment, so if the whole garment is blue, then certainly the whole garment does not need a blue thread to hang from the fringe." And this is one of the things he used to say to mock Moshe Rabbeinu. The second example, very famous example, he says, "We know that a mezuzah protects the residents inside the house. Now, what would be if a whole room would be full of Sifrei Torah that would contain the Krishma, like is in every mezuzah? Does the room that has been filled with Sifrei Torah, does it also need a mezuzah?" And he said, "Of course." It says you have to You have to. And again, Korach used this for grounds to ridicule Moshe Rabbeinu. The end of the day is Moshe Rabbeinu was criticized and mocked in public, and everyone's opinion of Moshe Rabbeinu went down. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to make peace with Korach and his followers, it did not work, until the point where Moshe Rabbeinu said that you will be punished. He prayed to Hashem that Hashem should not accept their mincha, their sacrifices, their korbanos, and that they should be punished in an unusual way, and which we know was that the ground opened up and swallowed Korach and his entire community and all those followers and all those accomplices that were there to go ahead and put Moshe down, and they disappeared. So we would think that this was the end of Korach, and this was the end of the rebellion. And the answer is, unfortunately, no. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was put up in front of all the Jewish people as being a person who might not be a credible and honest and acceptable leader. Now, of course, after everyone saw the miracle of Korach being swallowed up in the ground, and that Moshe continued to lead the Jewish people for 40 years in the desert, miraculously, with all the other nisim of the man, and the Ananiya Kavod, and the water from the rock, and so forth, no one would doubt Moshe Rabbeinu's authenticity and his greatness. However, what Korach succeeded was he created, so to say, a crack in the foundation of the Jewish people, which means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the liaison to the Jewish people from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah was given to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, and his word was indisputable, and everyone accepted it. Now, because Korach publicly got up and protested and went against Moshe Rabbeinu, creating a doubt in the minds of all the Jewish people, this fraction, the foundation, continued to last throughout the generations, where Jewish people later on would then question the Chachamim and say, maybe you don't have to listen to this mitzvah. Maybe you don't have to accept that halacha. Maybe it's something that does not have to be followed. In other words, tradition, Mitzvah, was now being challenged by other people because Korach challenged the Mitzvah, the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the rebellion. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller Shlita, has said to me when I was in the yeshiva that Korach is the first Reformed Jew. It's hard to believe such a very versed and very educated and knowledgeable person who was able to carry the Aron. Now, if he wasn't capable in his midos, he wasn't capable in his personality to carry, he would have been killed by carrying the Aron for just being unworthy. So obviously he was worthy. Nevertheless, Korach created a terrible breach in the Jewish people, and that was the cause, as my Rebbe explains, that we have today of millions upon millions of Jewish people who have left the fold of Yiddishkeit. Until the Reformed Jews came to the world, there was no such thing as a Reform. Either you're an observant Jew or you're not a non-observant Jew. The term observant, I mean Reform or Orthodox or Conservative, never existed. These are terms only was created only recently. And therefore, what Korach has done to the Jewish people is that it created a terrible breach, and today we have many, many Jewish people who have intermarried with Goyim because they didn't follow the tradition of the Jewish people. Many Jewish people do not observe the Torah on a whole scale, even though they may observe a Yom Kippur or a Pesach Seder, or maybe the Hanukkah candles and so forth. But on the whole, there are millions upon millions of Jewish people who have been ill-trained and misled by rabbis who don't want to accept the tradition of the Torah. And this is all a credit to the infamous work of Korach. What was the thing that caused Korach to be so violently against Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Pirkei Avos in Perek Dalid would answer this question. In Pirkei Avos, it's brought down in Perek Dalid, Mishnah Chav Ches, Rabbi Elazar Kapa says, Hakina v'ataiva v'hakovod motzien es ha'odim min ha'olam. Kina, jealousy, taiva, lust, and kavod, then honor can take a person out of this world. Mephoshim explained in the Mishnah, according to Rashi, kina is referring to jealousy, is referring to Korach. The Mishnah referring that jealousy, he was jealous of Moshe and Aaron, and therefore it caused him to be removed from this world. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon says, it goes on the third trait, covered. He had an insatiable appetite for honor, and even though he had other honors coming his way, but he wanted it all. And therefore, he felt that Moshe and Aaron took too much to themselves, and therefore he created a rebellion. And the Pharisee Yisrael explained on the Mishnah, not only did he lose Olam Hazeh, it says, Mutzina Sa'odam Min Ha'olam, he removes a person from this world, it's also referring to Olam Haba. So you see what happens if a person has a Midah Ra of Kina, or of Kavod, it could drive him out of this world, it can kill him, it can kill his reputation, it can kill his Shalom Bayis, it can kill his relationship with his friends, because he has this drive of kavod or kina, and therefore we see from the story of Korach how a person must stay away as much as he possibly can from kina, from jealousy, and from kavod. There is an interesting aspect that I wanted to share as a personal insight of this parasha, which I think is very valuable, and that is, we see that Korach used his talents, his wisdom, and his public reputation in a negative way. He could have done much positive, but what he did was he looked for a vulnerable moment that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and with that vulnerable moment, he was able to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu's appearance and reputation in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, and created this terrible, terrible rebellion. We can turn this whole thing completely reverse into a positive message, that if a person has talents and he uses his talents to look for a positive moment for dealing with Avodas Hashem, with serving Hashem and doing the right thing, and he looks for a positive, a window of opportunity to do mitzvahs, where he has an opportunity to do a chesed that can help an entire community. He has an opportunity to help a shul, and create a positive environment. All the schusam, all the merits will go his way. It's so important to bear that in mind, that just like the power of Korach was to use his talent in a negative way, we can use our talents in a positive way, and we can help community, we can help families, we can help friends in need. We have to look for the opportunities that come our way, and when we look for these opportunities, Hashem will make them appear in front of us very clear and very easy to do. But we have to look for these opportunities if we're anxious to do them, and Hashem will bless us with success. May we take the lesson from this week's parasha, that we are capable of being a great people, each one in our own ways. We can be great in our communities. We can be a positive influence in our families. We have to use our talents in a way that would be admirable and helpful, and would bring Kiddush Hashem to the world. And if this is a lesson that we can walk away from Parshas Korach, to stay away from kinah, taiva, and kavod, jealousy, lust, and honor, and use our talents in a positive way, it'll bring a Kiddush Hashem to the world, it'll be a support to our community, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will definitely have nachas from us and our actions. Have a wonderful week.